Does your employer offer to match donations to nonprofit organizations? If so, before your next donation to WORT, please obtain a matching gift form from your employer and include it with your donation. As a 501c3 organization, WORT qualifies for matching gifts from employers. WORT Community Radio thanks its listener sponsors and their employers who match their gifts. Il n'est pas une boîte qu'il ne fréquentait.
Welcome to Madison Labor Radio. Labor Radio is dedicated to bringing news, information, and cultural events focused on working people and the labor movement to the Madison area and surrounding communities. I'm Jimmy Coonan. I'm a member of the Carpenters Local 314. Welcome to our Winter Pledge Drive. We need to hear from you. Call 608-256-2001, extension 1. Your support is necessary to make Labor Radio and all the great programming on WORT possible.
And I'm Victoria Gutierrez, a member of SEIU Wisconsin Meritor Nurses. Today, we discuss many affected by the Trump administration's attacks on workers and their families, including those affected by the cuts in Medicaid and education. We also hear from workers who were standing up at two rallies this week and much, much more.
Now, an update on the legal challenges to the federal mass fire-ins.
Hi, I'm Keith Steffen, and we are asking you to donate generously to Labor Radio and WORT.
Hi, I'm Janine Ramsey, and you are getting information and news here that you aren't going to be able to get anywhere else, and that's the reason why we believe that we're a valuable resource that you should contribute to.
And to contribute, give us a call, 608-256-2001, or go online at wrtfm.org. Make a generous contribution of any amount, or a pledge. It's a pledge. You can pledge. You can be like, I would like to give money, but I'm not doing it just this second. Go ahead and make a pledge. You don't have to have that money if you're like, I just had to fix the car and it got cold again and I don't have any money. Then by all means, you can put it off a little bit. But give us a call, 608-256-2001, or go online at wrtfm.org in order to make a pledge or make a donation right now. This is our winter pledge drive.
But Michelle and Bruce are standing by waiting for you to call. And we have a special matching grant for new and lapsed donors. So for every new donor who donates to this show, WORT receives double their donation. And for every lapsed donor, that is somebody who hasn't given in at least 18 months, WORT will double their donation with that that partner who's pledging to double everything.
So essentially we have a matching grant, so you can call and make a pledge or a donation right now and we'll get twice as much money as you are willing to give, and that certainly will help the station. Very important right now, as you know, with the encroaching fascism on going on in our country. The media is under attack, certainly working people are under attack, and this particular program is a resource that you should support. 608-256-2001.
Hear ye, hear ye. We did get a generous donation from a person who likes news and...
Ooh, a person who likes news.
Democracy Now! And some other programs that I can't quite read, but I do appreciate the... the people who took the notes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the first pledger who has gotten us started. We still need to hear from several more of you over the course of the next 25 minutes. Only a couple of chances for you to support this program during this pledge drive. And now we need you to go to your phones or go to your computers right now. 608-256-2001 or at wrtfm.org. We're going to go back to the news in a minute, but Keith,
there are thank you gifts. I won't list them all, but you ask your phone answer, and they would be happy to share what the different gifts are at the different levels.
Comfort to the widow, a light to the child. There is power in a union.
And now an update on the legal challenges to federal mass firings.
Mass firings ordered by the Office of Personnel Management of the Trump-Musk administration have been put on hold, at least for now. Yesterday, Thursday, February 27th, Federal Judge William Alsup of the Northern District of California issued a temporary restraining order stopping a blanket Trump administration memo calling for the firing of about 200,000 federal workers who are on probationary status. In his decision, Alsup called the Trump order illegal. The ruling was in response to a lawsuit brought by a coalition of unions, including the American Federation of Government Employees, the AFGE. Alsup's ruling affects only those workers covered by the unions that are plaintiffs in the lawsuit. For Labor Radio, I'm Greg Jaboski.
Hundreds of concerned citizens held a rally outside of Senator Ron Johnson's Eastside Madison office to protest threatened cuts to Medicaid. Senator Johnson was not there. Before hearing from people at the rally, we will hear from William Park Sutherland, the Government Affairs Director of Kids Forward, to get some background on what is going on with Medicaid.
There are some proposed cuts to Medicaid. Can you tell us what you know about those?
The House of Representatives voted this Tuesday evening to approve a budget resolution which authorizes up to $888 billion, with a B, dollars in cuts that would come from the House Energy and Commerce Committee. And most people think that the vast majority of those cuts would come from Medicaid, which is the largest program that they have jurisdiction over, because President Trump has repeatedly said that he is not going to cut Social Security and he's not going to cut Medicare.
What does Medicaid do?
Medicaid is a joint federal-state partnership that provides health care and long-term care for more than 1 million Wisconsinites. Medicaid in Wisconsin is known by many names: Badger Care Plus, Family Care, IRIS, Senior Care, the Children's Long-Term Support Waiver, just to name a few. Medicaid covers about 1 in 3 children, both in urban and rural counties. Medicaid pays for nursing home care for about 4 in 7 nursing home residents in the state, and covers a little bit more than 1 in 3 people with disabilities in the state.
And now the rally to protest these Medicaid cuts.
Fight. My name is Michael Griggs. I'm here because my daughter receives Medicaid services.
And cuts to those services would affect her.
They would affect not only her, but our entire family. Both my wife and I work full-time, demanding jobs. The Medicaid services my daughter receives not only support her with all of her therapies at school, but also provide for a safety net when there are big surgical and medical needs that she's had in her past.
What are your thoughts about these proposed cuts?
As a therapist provider, my wife is a healthcare provider as well, it completely guts me to see that we would even contemplate reducing the funding we already provide to Medicaid. This not only allows those who receive Medicaid services to work, but it provides funding for all of the therapists that everyone is talking about being in short supply. I'm here today for the first time ever at any kind of meeting or march because I'm very fearful, and I want people to know that it affects me and my family. I emailed my family today to let them know that it's personally affecting me and our family. I think it's too easy to think it's not me or anyone I know, and it probably very likely is. I read a great statistic today. 1 in 4 people in the U.S. is disabled. 40% of people in the whole world know someone in their family or friend group who is disabled. This is the largest minority group in the whole world, and it's also the only minority group that anyone can become a member of at a moment's notice.
I'm hoping we can still come together with all people, regardless of political background, and realize this is bad for everyone.
I'm the community, in numbers we are strong. Act in your neighborhood, bring your friends along. We have the power to rescue our democracy. We are the guardrails now.
Those were the Raging Grannies at the rally. Reporting for Labor Radio, this is Janine Ramsey.
Hi, this is Keith again, and we are covering a lot of stories that are being impacted by the new administration, and it's very important that we get this news out. So please donate generously to WORT in general and Labor Radio in particular.
We have someone to thank right behind you there, Keith.
Oh, yes, we sure do. Victoria! Thank you so much.
For your generous pledge.
Yes, she likes Labor Radio and La Junta and Public Affair.
And you can join Victoria and anyone else who has pledged on the show today by going to 608-256-2001 and calling in a generous pledge or going online at wrtfm.org. Carol?
Well, I wanted to mention the theme of the show, which is community, a celebration of community radio. And we have a beautiful long sleeve T-shirt that was designed 45 years ago by Dan Slick. And it's these fanciful figures dancing like crazy. And it comes in 2 colors. And at a $100 level, you will get this lightweight shirt, perfect for layering. It's it'll be a great shirt. We have some other things. We also need to thank Keith Steffen, who has given a generous pledge. And he's going to take the El Dorado backpack, which is nifty as heck. We also are looking for evergreen donors. If you could part with as little as $5 a month, you could be an evergreen donor, which would make you eligible for a $60 pledge thank you gift. And at $60, you could get the crossbody bag, a subscription to the Progressive magazine, a new wart patch, and you could get the I Miss Nixon bumper sticker.
I always point out to everybody that the most left-wing president we've had since Nixon is Nixon. So now is your chance to call, support Labor Radio here on WRT. There's another one coming in that we should thank real quick. Ding, 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 ding.
All right, Leslie. We have a generous pledge from Leslie, and Leslie loves Labor Radio. So thank you so much, Leslie, for your pledge. Why don't you join Leslie? Somebody who obviously cares about the types of reporting that we're doing that isn't being done elsewhere because people are afraid. There are many people out there getting fired by the federal government and by other businesses related, and they're not able. We're able to do stories and to tell you what's really going on, where other news organizations have to be a lot more careful.
Well, those other news organizations are not allies of the working class, whereas we are the working class. 608-256-2001. Call and pledge your support. As we mentioned, of course, now seems like the most important time to support, you know, news and public affairs that are come from a working class perspective and that you know, is currently trying to escape from under the heel of the current administration. But I want to point out that we've been important the whole bloody time.
We also have a pledge from Dave. Dave likes Labor Radio, news programs, and the diversity of music. So I think he's for diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Ooh.
Thank you, Dave, all right, for your generous gift.
And we're going to go back to news. Will you join Dave and Victoria and Leslie and anyone else who has pledged? 608-256-2001 is the number. We need to hear from you.
A rally in support of public education was held today in Madison. Greg Jaboski reports.
Another election day in Wisconsin, another local referendum to raise local property taxes to keep local schools funded. This year, 86 jurisdictions throughout the state will vote on public school funding referenda. But today, teachers, administrators, elected officials, students, and parents from urban, suburban, and rural public schools gathered from across the state on the mezzanine level of the state capitol rotunda, backed by a bust of Fighting Bob La Follette, to say that enough was enough. From noon to after 1 p.m., 24 different speakers with stories to tell demanded responsible state education funding. Heather Dubois, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, described the situation.
There are 86 school districts that have a referendum on their ballot. 86. And we're going to work our butts off. We're going to work like hell to get those referendums passed, right? But we know that that system is not sustainable.
Kendrick Hopin, executive director of the Kenosha Education Association, says her district is in dire straits after recently losing a school funding referendum.
Like many across the state, we were forced into an impossible position, one created by lawmakers who have systemically underfunded public education for years. And rather than fulfilling their duty to provide every Wisconsin child with access to a high-quality public education, they have shifted the burden onto local communities, forcing us to fend for ourselves.
Michael Jones, president of Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison's teachers union, explained what he thinks needs to be done.
Anyone who's really annoyed with how high their taxes are, every time a school district asks you for a tax raise, it's because the state has not done their job. So we need to make pressure on our state, and that's not just our Republican folks. Our Democratic folks, too, need to hold the line and actually demand more and demand better for all of our public schools, because we don't need to have to dip it to people's taxes if we actually funded our school properly at the state level.
Angelina Cruz, the president of Racine Educators United and a newly elected member of the state legislature, says there is a clear solution.
I'm going to ask that this group help me make noise like it was 2011. So that my colleagues in their offices can hear you demanding today in this Capitol that they tax the rich and fund our schools.
So State Assembly Member and Racine Teachers Union President Angelina Cruz speaking today at the Capitol in support of state public school funding. For Labor Radio, I'm Greg Jaboski.
Last week, Labor Radio spoke to the director of Reach Dane, the Dane County Head Start Program, about the program and the impact of the abrupt funding freeze last month on the program. This week, Labor Radio spoke with an employee of Early Child Care Program about his work and the big impact that it can have on our most vulnerable kids and families.
My name is Isaac Whitbick. I work for Reach Dane as a child and family resilience specialist, which is unique to the therapeutic classroom that our agency is developing in collaboration with the University of Wisconsin School of Human Ecology. I'm working with kids in the classroom, and I also do home visits with the families. Part of that is a preventative care for kids to help them become more resilient and give them a lot of support. These are the families that are the most at-risk families in our community.
Can you tell us about some of the kinds of things that you do?
In the classroom itself, we work with a team of mental health providers to come up with individualized plans for how to care for each of the kids. I also do home visits with the families where I do social work with them, connecting them with resources and doing psychoeducation.
Can you tell us anything about your kids or your families?
In Head Start, all the families that we serve are at least 150% below the poverty line. They're families that are dealing with a lot of adversity. A lot of them are experiencing homelessness or are experiencing housing instability right now. That's been getting a lot worse since the pandemic.
What would people be surprised to know about these kids or the work that you're doing?
People would be surprised to know just how powerful it is for them to receive this kind of care. Seeing the emotional transformation that kids go through and the tremendous hope that there is at that period of time and the tremendous potential for change and transformation. With all of the challenging things that are going on in the world right now, actually that's where I see the most hope is in the kids.
If one of your little students was able to write a letter to the people in power, what would they say about what their needs are?
That we need to be cared for. We need to be the priority. We need more funding to be loved, to feel safe in the world that is very overwhelming. We need affordable housing. We need a place to live. We need cars to drive. Our parents need jobs that can pay us well. It's really hard to see funding being cut when we need more funding. Adversity predicts incarceration and homelessness and health problems. We're going to end up paying for that in the future. And so the best investment we can make now is to prevent all of that from happening by giving our kids the care that they need. Head Start, it's a free service to the families. A lot of people who can't afford childcare really depend on us for that. And that is what allows them to be able to go to work and earn money. What are they going to do? You know, where are these kids going to go? They need care. I can imagine the ripple effect that if the kids don't have care, the families would lose their jobs, they would lose their housing. It's really important that we continue to be able to run these programs and provide quality care for our kids. It's affecting the people who are the most vulnerable in our community, people who are hardworking, they're raising their families, they're working multiple jobs, they're doing the best they can. There are people who need the most support, the most resources, who are being targeted in these cuts.
We were talking to Isaac Whippick, who is both a social worker and an early childhood educator. This is Janine Ramsey reporting for Labor Radio.
And time is running short on the program. You have about 7.5 minutes left to call and make a pledge at 608-256-2001. Or you could do what Dan and Vicky did and go online and make a generous pledge that way, wrtfm.org. They like Democracy Now!, all the local news shows. I'm assuming they mean us, although it just mentions the evening local news shows. And Two for the Blues. So thank you, Dan and Vicky, for your generous pledge.
And we also got a generous pledge from Sam Breidenbach, who likes Labor Radio, Democracy Now!, and Back to the Country. And also from Will Olson, who likes Labor Radio, Democracy Now!, and classical music. So thanks to everybody who's donated. And many of you know or knew our founding producers, Ellen Lalozern and Frank Emsbach, and we would love to accept donations in their honor.
And we would like to have a monthly pledge or two. And if you become an Evergreen donor for as little as $5 a month, you can get a thank you gift. Sorry, I just lost my radio voice.
Oh, I should point out, of course, that we did have one more pledge, but it was stolen by those mean people over at Democracy Now! So you can make up for that by going to your phones, calling 608-256-2001, and pledging right now. You can be like, it's a Democracy Now! Pledge, but I'm giving it to Labor Radio because they stole yours.
So ooh, that would work.
That would work with us. 608-256-2001. But of course, you know, it's important to have labor news and independent news in this time and day. You know, they're trying to kill the Fourth Estate, and they're trying to get rid of all workers' rights. So we need your help because we've been fighting the good fight in favor of those things for how long have we been on?
20-ish years.
Almost, well, Lort has almost coming up on its 50th birthday.
Oh, I was talking about Labor Radio.
Oh.
Labor Radio is...
I think it's 20.
Yeah. On since about, 1999 or something like that. So,
26 years maybe.
Yeah, all volunteer run, and we would love to hear from you. 608-256-2001. And, of course, WRTFM.org. We're going back to the news.
Thousands of Oregon nurses have reached an agreement ending their month-long strike. Greg Jaboski has more.
Calling it a major victory, the Oregon Nurses Association, the ONA, on Monday announced an agreement ending the 46-day strike by almost 5,000 nurses at 8 hospitals across the state of Oregon. The hospitals are run by health industry giant Providence Health. The union announcement highlighted parts of the new contract, including wage increases from 20% to 42% over the life of the contract, with an immediate 16% to 22% raise upon ratification, retroactive pay covering 75% of all hours worked in 2024, and guaranteed pay for nurses in their next paycheck equal to 1 hour of wages for every break or meal they are forced to miss. The new contract also requires that patient acuity or the severity or complexity of a patient's medical condition will now be factored into staffing plans, a key nurse demand for safer staffing levels. The ONA also tightened key contract dates so that 10 bargaining units, which is the majority of affected contracts, will now align with expiration or wage reopener dates within 3 months of each other. According to registered nurse Virginia Smith, who works at Providence Willamette Falls, these contracts represent a major victory for frontline caregivers. But more importantly, it's a victory for Providence patients and the communities we serve. Nurses return to work on Wednesday. For Labor Radio, I'm Greg Jaboski.
Dock workers ratified a 6-year master agreement with port employers and ocean carriers. Carol Weidel has the story.
Rank-and-file members of the International Longshoremen's Association, or ILA, overwhelmingly ratified provisions of the new 6-year master agreement. Nearly 99% of ILA members approved the contract with the United States Maritime Alliance, which will be in effect until September 30, 2030. ILA President Harold Daggett described the contract victory to members.
Though it took a 3-day strike in early October to demonstrate our determination and resolve to employers, the result is that we won a 62% increase in wages in the new master contract. Here I want to offer praise and thanks to the acting U.S. Labor Secretary Julie Sue for convincing the foreign ocean carriers that ILA members deserve record increases in wages for highly skilled jobs they perform, helping them earn record profits. The 62% wage increase we negotiated in this new tentative agreement finally put the brakes on decades of master contract agreements that saw little or no growth in compensation for ILA members.
The 36 ports affected by the contract range from Texas to Maine. ILA members will also receive accelerated wage increases for new workers, increased contribution to retirement plans, and safeguards from threats from automation.
And there's only a few seconds remaining in the program. For you to call, do we have someone to thank? Anyone new? Exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who has already pledged. Oh, wait, we do have someone we'd like to thank. It's not a new pledge. They're fulfilling one they made earlier. But thank you, Fred, for your generous contribution. Thank you very much, Fred. We've got Dan and Vicky to thank. We've got, let's see, we had Leslie. We had Sam.
Will. We had Dave.
Will and Dave.
Keith.
And Keith.
And Will is a first-time donor, so his pledge will be doubled.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Way to go, Will. Thank you.
And Victoria. So thank you, everybody who pledged. Somebody's pointing at Jim. Hi, Jim. So we're going to go back to Jim and Victoria, but it's your last chance now. You can still call 608-256-2001. Support, you know, fighting the class war here on WRT 89.9 FM, Madison.
We're here for you. You got to be here for us.
I'm Victoria Gutierrez with SEIU Wisconsin Meritor Nurses, and thank you to Labor Radio Collective, including reporters Greg Jaboski, Janine Ramsey, Carol Weidel, Sean Hegerup, Bryant Navinska-Lois, Carlos Davalos, Assistant Robin G., and Damage Control Specialist Joanne Powers. Special thanks to Keith Steffen, our reader coordinator, and to all of our readers and the members of IBEW Local 2304 WORT Staff Collective.
And I'm Jimmy Coonan. We'd like to also thank all the generous contributors to Labor Radio and WORT. Please stay tuned to the Blues Cruise with Dave Watts and Professor Bill Clark.
You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
Hi, WORT listeners. Nominations for Madison Magazine's Best of Madison competition are now open through the end of February, and WORT qualifies this year in four categories: Best Local Podcast, Best Radio Team, Best Local News Site, and the brand new category of Best Volunteer Opportunity. WORT has fantastic local news, so that one's pretty easy, as well as many podcasts and radio teams. Think about your favorite shows, and chances are that at least one of them fits into these categories. WORT also boasts a crew of over 300 volunteers, so we're a shoo-in for Best Volunteer Opportunity. But we need your vote. How do you vote? We've made it simple. Just go to tinyurl.com/best WORT to cast your vote.